All right, everybody ready? Well, we'll get started on tonight's Torah portion. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Isn't it great to be in the house of Yehovah on Friday evening? You're getting ready to enjoy our wonderful Shabbat day. Isn't it amazing how good He is to us? You know, He did this for us because He knew we needed it. And I appreciate the fact that He does it, and so I don't want to disappoint Him. I want to honor Him every time I can to let Him know how much I appreciate His goodness. So we're going to get right into the Torah portion. We're on Torah portion number 27, Tezriah. Everybody say Tezriah. It's Hebrew for she conceives. She conceives, or she bears seed, or produces seed. Can be either one of those. If I say produces seed, I got to go through a long explanation of what that means. So I'm going to just stick with it. I'll probably cover it at some point in here. But she conceives, or in English, we'd say she's pregnant. We'd say she's pregnant. But saying she's pregnant is kind of cut and dry, and it don't leave the openness that the Hebrew does when you look at it in detail of what that means. And so we're going to look at this together. And this goes, now I want you to think about it. Right before she conceives, the previous chapter talks about what she should eat and not eat. How good God is. If you want to maximize procreation, this is what you should consume and this is what you shouldn't consume. If you want to bring guaranteed vitality to the offspring, this is what you do. And then he says that she conceived. So a lot of problems today with conception could be tied into things we eat and our nutrition. There's no doubt about that. I'm safe in saying that. Nutrition is everything. We have to. And how many know the top nutritionist was the one who spoke it into existence? There's none better. And so he knows what to tell you to eat and not to eat. Amen? I just thought I'd throw that in there because it makes sense to me. We didn't get to cover it in our last Torah portion, but if you read through, like we should do in our homework, because we don't just have Friday evening, Saturday morning. We got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We finish the Bible study as much as we can. Then we got Thursday and Friday, and we're back at it again. So if you want a good habit, you're going to just go right through the Torah portions and read through them. At least read the scripture. Familiar yourself with the scripture. This is a short one. It's two chapters. It's a double Torah portion, but we're not going to do a double Torah portion. Next week, we're going to do the one that was connected to this. And I know some folks get a little, how are we going to get them in? We'll get them in. We got to call. I've been thinking about this. We might have what I'm going to call Torah Revival, where I schedule three nights in a row, and we're going to sing and go to as much Torah we can to catch up on the last ones. So we're gonna get it in. So we'll finish this cycle, but we got so much to cover, amen? So it's found in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1 through 13:59. And in 2 Kings 7, 3 through 20 is the half Torah, and there's other scripture for the half Torah you can read into. It's not in here, but I just put that. There's others, no doubt, that we looked at. So the topics in the portion is a woman giving birth should undergo a process of purification. A woman giving birth should go through a process of purification, which includes immersion in a mikvah, a naturally gathered pool of water, and bringing offerings to the holy temple. All male infants are to be circumcised at 8 days of life. And we'll cover as much of that first one that we possibly can. The next one goes into what's going to be talked about at some point tomorrow or Wednesday. And that's Tezret, which is often mistranslated as leprosy, is the supernatural plague which can afflict people as well as garments or homes. This is a powerful part of this Torah, very powerful. And I'm convinced that we are seeing it today, but we don't We don't have the priest that actually has to do the inspection like they did then. But we have a high priest who teaches us to do self-inspection. Right? We do self-inspection. So this deals with sicknesses that manifest in the natural, but first are sowed in the spirit. And it could be done from evil speaking, lashon hara. It could be from those things. So we have to be careful on how we speak. How we speak to about our brother, our neighbor, our family, the wife, the husband, how you speak to each other, and carrying grudges could be linked to many illnesses. And you find that in this particular thing. But of course, it gets kind of encapsulated in the term called leprosy. But we'll try to unfold that. I think we got enough slides in here to try to unfold that for you. And so, because it don't even reflect people, it affects garments and homes. Garments and homes. If it's white or pink patches appear on a person's skin, dark pink or dark green in garments or at home, the Kohen is summoned, judging by various signs such as the increase in size of the afflicted area. After 7 days quarantine, the Kohen pronounces the tamim, or the impure, or the tahor, the pure. And we'll look at those two words, which we got started on that when we looked at the clean and unclean foods. A person afflicted with tazarat must dwell alone outside the camp or city until he is healed. The afflicted area in the garment or home must be removed. If the tazarat reoccurs, the entire garment or home must be destroyed. So let's get started. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1. We'll read through this chapter. And it's talking about purification after childbirth. Purification after childbirth. Now, just so everybody knows, I'm going to be talking about some things that may seem a bit uncomfortable. But this is the Torah. And we're not going to skip over it because it gets a little uncomfortable to us. It is what it is. And maybe because we haven't spent the time talking about it, well, I can tell you, Jehovah thought it was necessary to talk about it, and I'll show you the tie-ins and how it works. It's very powerful. Leviticus chapter 12, verse number 1. And Jehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, when a woman has conceived, Tezria, and has given birth to a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. As in the days of her monthly separation, she is unclean. And on the eighth day of the flesh of, on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin is circumcised. Now we have to ask the question, why the eighth day? Because Jehovah knows the best day. Now we just covered the eighth day, didn't we? Now how many think that all this ties in? If Jehovah is doing it, it ties in. And we know we got a festival that has an 8-day celebration. Now, when was Yeshua circumcised? Why? Because his parents kept the Torah. That's why he was circumcised on the 8th day. Now, this is very important now for us to keep in mind. So keep that verse in mind. We'll come back to it. And she remained in the blood of her cleansing 33 days. So she has a male child. She's unclean for how many days? 7 days. And she remains in the blood of her cleansing 33 days. She does not touch whatever is set apart. Notice what she's prohibited from. Touch what is set apart. She does not come into the set apart place until the days of her cleansing are complete. So 33 and 7 is 40. Good number. Keep that in mind. But if she gives birth to a female, then she is to be unclean for 2 weeks, as in her monthly separation, and she shall remain in the blood of her cleansing for 66 days. 14 and 66 is 80. And when the days of her cleansing are complete for a son or for a daughter, she brings to the priest a lamb a year old as an ascending offering. Now listen to this. It's very important to listen to. And young pigeon and turtle dove as a sin offering. And this is where it gets a little tight, because the moment you read this, women think, well, is it a sin to have a child? No, it's the opposite of that. He's not talking about the sin of the woman having a child. He's talking about, I want you to remember, when you bring this offering, the person you just brought into the world, let them know that this ascending and offering is to cover them as they come into the world. It's a remembrance. It's to remember. But it's required. Now, who paid that offering for us? All of us. Paid it for us. Isn't that amazing? He did a lot for us. We don't realize how much he did on the cross when he did what he did, but he did a lot of things. He settled it for us. You know, he comes to the, you might have somebody that's gotten debt and they're having a little trouble. They're struggling. And then somebody comes along and says, how much they owe? And they tell them, you pay the debt for them. But that's what Yeshua did. He paid our debt for us. We were all in trouble. We owed a debt. We couldn't even pay it. We couldn't pay it. We had no means to pay it. But he paid it for us. So there's a lot of stuff he did. And we're about to celebrate this wonderful Passover event and going into unleavened bread. And I want to be so thankful and so full of joy realizing how incredible the master that we have, that we're followers of, Yeshua, how wonderful he is. And how we owe him all the praise and the glory for what he's done for us. He paid the debt for us. Amen. So he said, you bring the ascending offering and the young pigeon and two turtle doves as a sin offering to the door of the tent of appointments. And he shall bring it before Yehovah and make atonement for her. Who is he bringing this for? To make atonement for her, the woman who had the child, whether it's a female or a male child, this had to be done. And she shall be cleansed from the flow of her blood. This is the Torah for her who has given birth to a male or a female. Verse 8. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one as an ascending offering, the other as a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Now, Miriam and Joseph, we know that they couldn't afford the lamb. So what did they bring? What did Miriam bring when Yeshua was born? We're going to read it, but I just wanted to ask while we read it. She didn't bring a lamb because they couldn't afford a lamb. So we know that the finances that God supplied Yeshua didn't come till much later. If it had come at his birth, like so many say, they showed up with, they'd had the money for a lamb. But it didn't come then. It didn't come till years later, like a couple years later, before the wise men found him and then brought the money. So at the time, all they had was enough for turtle doves. And she brought that as an ascending and a sin offering. See, if we just slow down and read, we'll figure these things out. They'd have had the money to bring a lamb, but didn't have it. Now, once the wise men come, he had some finances. That was to help raise him and teach him and train him and get him ready for the ministry that he was about to take off. And we know that that's what happened because he was successful at everything he did. This week's Torah portion is called Tezria, which means she bears seed or she is with seed. And this word comes from the root word Zerah, Strong's 2232, which means to sow or scatter seed, conceive, give birth, or offspring. Now, who's the seed sower between the male and the female? Who's the seed sower? The male sows the seed. But we're not talking about the male sowing the seed. We're talking about the woman conceiving the seed. Meaning that when the male has sowed the seed, she conceives it in conception and keeps it where it starts to thrive, it starts to grow. And so this is what Tezria is all about. Here in this chapter 12 in Leviticus, we begin to see the Torah in regards to a woman when she is pregnant and gives birth. And herein we are given the regulations regarding the time of separation after giving birth, which in Hebrew is known as Nidah. Now, Nidah is Strong's H5079. It means separation, isolation, uncleanness, menstruation, unclean, impure, filthiness. And is also often used to speak of a woman's defilement during her menstrual bleeding cycle. Now, this is what's often referred to. But I'm going to show you what the Word of God is actually declaring and what's happening here. So we see what happens is when a woman has what's called Nidah, which is her monthly period. Is everybody still okay? Okay, so she goes through this cycle. And so what happens, why does she bleed? Is because the seed didn't take. So she has to remove, it can't stay, it's got to be flushed out. She goes to a cycle, she's unclean. Now, being unclean, does that mean sin? I don't want anybody in here to think that being unclean means sin. There's no sin here. But she is ritually unclean. She wasn't able to touch that which is set apart. Because Jehovah, we're talking about blood here. And life is in the blood. Now, this blood that's coming out is a dispelling of what's lifeless. That's what it means. And so that's why she's unclean. And the scripture concerning this, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. What this root word, Nidah, Strong's 5079 correctly means, in this case, is separation from intimacy. So, I want you to get that concept, because in rabbinic teachings, they say separation totally, total isolation. That's not what the scripture is referring to here. It means separation from intimacy. So when a woman's having her menstruation cycle, there should be no intimacy at that time. Now some people say, well, man, everybody knows that. Not so. We live in a world that don't necessarily mean that. Because we don't follow what God says. We just do whatever we think we want to do. And we say, well, it don't matter. I do what I want to do. That's fine. You can do that. There's consequences. There's a reason he says what he says. Because remember, the reason there's impurity is there because she's getting rid of the impurity. What was supposed to be life didn't take. For whatever reason. We don't get into details of what the reason is. We don't know that. But one thing is, it's got to be dispelled. It can't be collected. The moment it's collected and it's not a normal cycle, what happens normally to a woman when that happens? She winds up in the emergency room sometimes because it's broken from the cycle that God implemented inside of a woman. It's getting rid of impurities. And if you have an intimacy during that impurities, those impurities have a chance to get on you. Does this make sense to everybody? Everyone in here is glad Pastor had the first section on here. I promise you that. Which is ultimately designed to build an expectation and anticipation and restoration after the cleansing cycle. So there's some things that the woman is doing and the man. Because a man don't have a menstruation cycle. He's ready all the time, every day, no matter what time of the day it is, morning, night, noon, he's just ready. Somebody will be honest. But with that comes something he has to learn. He has to learn to wait. And this whole thing that the woman's on her cycle and the man's like, you don't want to go in there. Not right now. She'll rip your head off. We should not participate in that type of speech. Because that's not what this is talking about. If we get the biblical understanding of this, we'll figure out that we don't care if it's funny or not. We're not going to get involved in that type of speech. The world wants to do it, let them do it. We're here to hold up the woman at that time. You should be praying, you should be interceding for her, and giving God praise for protecting her and watching over her. Because anytime there's a discharge of blood, that's a serious matter. And we should take that to note. We should be concerned about that. We shouldn't get mad and say, oh, well, I'm glad I don't. See, you don't have to deal with it. But God knows she would deal with it, and he's making provision here to let the man know this is a time where you cool it. Nowhere is this seen as a sin or something that is a result of an error. So every woman in here, just know that. It's not an error. It's not something you did wrong. It's just the natural process. Because we know that at the very beginning, when Adam and Eve, at the beginning, we know that this process or this procedure wasn't instituted till after what? Sin. And after sin, childbirthing was actually talked about change. There was a change that took place. It would come with pain. So hence what happens during the menstruation time, you're going to experience some pain, some cramping, some discomfort, some emotional swings. You're going to do this natural. We don't want what's natural from God, so we get stuff to take to get rid of that. But it's a time that a woman has to really focus and say, God, I know that you instituted this, and I'm thankful that Yeshua paid the price for this too. Rather than go and get whatever it's called, I used to know, but I don't know no more. What's that called? Might all, whatever it is. But instead of running to that, say, well, that's what everybody else is doing, you got to remember, you're not everybody else. Yeshua paid in full that price for all these things, but you have to relax in him and allow that to happen. You try it and see how well it works. Nowhere is this seen as a sin or something that is a result of an error, yet there is necessary time of separation that is needed in order to become ritually pure. So this, to be ritually pure again, this time of separation happens. Now I'm going to give you some verses on it. Leviticus 18:19. Do not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness in her monthly separation of uncleanness. Is this a command? Now he's not talking to women here when he says do not approach a woman. Who is he talking to? Men. Do not means do not. It's simple. Now listen to the next verse, Leviticus 20, verse 18. And a man who lies with a woman during her sickness, sometimes it can be translated as sickness, but don't take that as a negative, ladies. It's just translated that way as sickness, but he's talking about during her separation or her uncleanness. During her menstruation time, the nidah, and uncover her nakedness, he has laid bare her flow, and she has uncovered the flow of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from the midst of their people. It's serious to God. So we ought to take it serious. Men, we ought to take it serious. We ought to take it in consideration and at least try to understand this. But see, we so busy trying to do all the rest of the things, we didn't stop right here and look at this. And I'm safe in saying that I don't think anybody in here really stopped and took a look at this and said, you know what, let's see what this means. We're trying to highlight ourselves, so some stuff that we can project ourselves out with. This is more personal. This is in your bedroom when the door is closed. We should take a look at this because this is what God said. Is this helping you? We're talking about Nidah. Ezekiel 18. This is very important. Ezekiel 18. We're talking about righteousness here. I'm about to help somebody. If a man is righteous and shall do right rulings and righteousness, if he has not eaten on the mountain, nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor come near a woman during her uncleanness. Notice as he groups this in there. We're talking about being righteous. If you're going to do that, you're going to understand that I'm going to make sure that these are highlighted parts. This is the prophet Ezekiel highlights this as one of the things that we have to take note of. So just because a man don't menstruate, he ought to, when his wife is menstruating, he ought to be very much stepping up and be praying for her daily. Not just one little prayer and let her go on for the week for herself. And that's not how it works. Should never. Now, how many know that we have some repenting to do after the night? Because I never knew that I should have took some time to pray for my wife during that time and really undergird and put her before Jehovah. This is important for us to know. We're talking about following the Torah. Well, here we are. Here we are. Now, how many know there was a woman who bled for 12 years? She was ritually impure for a long time. And a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who having spent all her livelihood on physicians, was unable to be healed by any. She went to a lot of people and nobody could heal her. Came from behind and touched the tzitzit of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Now she come up behind Yeshua, which she wasn't allowed to do. She was ritually impure. But she touched the tzitzit of his garment, and what happened? Immediately, a flow stopped. So the reason I put this in here, because I want you to know, ladies, that Yeshua is very much involved with you understanding this cycle. Because there's nothing that can be more frustrating when you having it and nobody understands it. You don't understand it fully. Your husband definitely don't understand. He don't understand anything when it comes to that. Because we don't talk about that. We go in the private, you go in the private closet of your house, and it's private. But the Torah talks about it. And it's uncomfortable. I know it is. I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm uncomfortable talking about it. But it's got to be done. This is the ones you're going through. Okay, we're observing the Passover on this one. You go to the leper. We'll go to the leper. Because we've been doing the Torah for a while now. Right? Now, how many of you heard me do this one yet? This section. You see my point? But this year, I told you it's going to be special. I told you this Torah cycle is going to be special. We're going to hit every point, every part we can by the helping grace of Yehovah. And we're going to learn some things that'll help us along the way. And this is what this is about. The Torah is not to hurt us, it's to help us. And Yeshua said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied it, Kepha and those with him said, "Master, the crowd throngs you and presses upon you. And you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Yeshua said, "Somebody did touch me, for I knew power went out from me." Now the power, he had no idea what the problem was. But when the power that Yeshua established for us when he died at Calvary and then rose again and seated at the right hand, the power that he has supplied to us, it doesn't matter if he knows the problem. The power can override and supersede any problem you have. And her problem was a flow of blood. She was bleeding for 12 years. And instantly the power knew exactly where to go in her and dry up that problem. And everybody else, nobody could do it. All the physicians, all the money, nobody could do it. But the power of Yeshua was able to do it. To me, that's comforting. It ought to be comforting to all of us It doesn't matter what you got going on, because this is going to go into Mizora. And when it goes into that, it's going to be talking about different sicknesses and these spiritual attacks that come against us. And all of a sudden, you were fine, and now you got some problems. How did it start? It was seeded in you from what bad talk, evil speech, whatever it is, however it is, grudges. All these things are important. You got to get rid of all that, because it'll start off just a little white spot. And if you don't tend to it, what did they have to do if they saw one little white spot? What did they have to do? Immediately had to show it to the priest. The problem is we don't immediately show it to Yeshua. We want to hide it. We want to wear a long sleeve. We come, and so you don't know what's on my arms right now, because I got them covered up. But I know what's on them, you see? And Yeshua knows what's on them, but he wants us to be honest with him. And this is what it talks about. It goes into these details. And it's so powerful, and I want to do that one too. But I'm going to wait. And the woman, seeing that she was not hidden, came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all people why she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. So what she declared to him? She said, "Master, I touched you. I've been having this blood flowing for a problem." Now, she was really chancing it here, because what she did was not allowed. But who she touched came for her healing. For that purpose, he was there, for her healing. He was just waiting for somebody to get enough faith to step out and do what she did, and she did it. And that's what we have to do. Sometimes you get stuff that just is ailing. It's constant. It's nagging. It won't let go. And it's been time, year after year after year. You gotta get some nerve. You gotta do it. You come to service, get some nerve and step out of your comfort zone and get a hold of Yeshua and give him some praise and honor and glory and let that power flow from him. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm coming. I'm gonna let that power flow because I need a miracle. That's what she did. And he said to her, "Take courage, daughter." Notice his words. "Your belief has healed you. Go in peace." Now, if she wouldn't have been healed, he could tell her to go in peace all day long. She's still troubled. And they had a little scene. They had a little church service. They sang a couple songs, did a little tour reading. But she's still sick. It's hard to go in peace when you're still sick. But she's going in peace because that blood that was flowing dried up immediately. There's some change that happened, and that's what Yeshua has come for all of us, to minister to our lives. And especially in this situation here, it was absolutely incredible. In essence, we see some wonderful shadow pictures involved here through this clear instruction for separation. Shadow pictures that reflect the wonderful work of Messiah coming to cleanse his bride. For a male child, a woman is unclean for 7 days after the birth. After the birth, for 7 days, she's unclean. Does that mean she's going to bleed for 7 days? It doesn't mean that. She's still unclean for 7 days after the birth, because during the birth, there was some blood. She don't have to bleed another single time. She's still unclean for 7 days. I mean, understand that. Now, you said, why does it matter? I'm going to show you in a little while why does it matter, because everything God does is for a reason, and it all ties in Scripture. She's unclean for 7 days, and then on the 8th day, the male child was to be circumcised, and then she would remain in the blood of her cleansing for 33 days, totaling 40. Now, this gets a little tight for the guys in here. They're going, they're counting. Say, what? You look at your wife and say, "We ain't having no kids, no more kids. Not if I got to wait 40 days. Remember, because the man don't menstruate. He's ready all the time, 24 hours a day. He's just ready. Because he was built to sow seed. He's designed by God that way, to procreate. That's what he's built for. But a woman has to conceive that seed and actually incubate it and carry that for 9 months. thinking about all this stuff just amazing to me. And in the process, God knew that he would increase childbearing as part of the curse, so there would be blood and it would be just gruesome. It would be things that happened that he was, but not by normal design at the beginning, but because of sin. But again, Yeshua, that's the stuff nobody talked about. He come to fix all this stuff for us. Now, you say, well, he come and I'm saved. Why am I still having a menstruate? It's part of us still living. It's why, the reason we still die. You know, I'm saved, filled with the Spirit. Thank God for his goodness. I love the Lord, been mikvahed. I'm still going to die. The power is in the resurrection. Thank God for that, amen? Thank God for the resurrection. For a male child, a woman is unclean for 7 days, and at the eighth day, the male child is to be circumcised. Then she remains in the blood of her cleansing for 33 days, totaling 40 days of separation when having a male child. Medically, the eighth day is proven to be the least painful and with the least loss of blood for the child. Now, Yehovah already knew that, but scientists are catching up with that now. They know that. But they still don't like to follow God. They want to do what they want. So you know what they do? They give the child a shot to make his blood clot. But the danger in that is it can clot in places they can't control. Because of the small baby, development is still in the process. And if it causes a bleed somewhere else, and clots, and a blood clot could kill the child. That one shot. That's what they do. Do you know that? Did you know that? So if you say, my child, I need it to be circumcised, well, you have the baby, and they might do it on the second day or the third day or whatever. They don't worry about the eighth day. So what you have to do is you have to say, listen, I follow the Torah. We're having a child. You circumcise my son on the eighth day. Then if they ask you, you can take them to the scripture. Because I'm teaching it to you. I'm showing to you how important it is. Why? The eighth day is when vitamin K and prothrombin, immune and the blood clotting factor, are at their all-time highest level in the boy's life, making it the very best time to promote his healing. God knows about the eighth day. Let me tell you, eighth is important in God's time calendar. It's important in the cycle. If you take an eight and turn it upside down, it's where we get this. What is it called? The infinity. It's a new beginning. It's a fresh start. Thank God. It's the great day of the Feast of Sukkot. It's incredible, ain't it, mate? And then on the eighth day, the child should be circumcised. So when was Yeshua circumcised? On the eighth day. Why? Because his mom and dad, they kept the Torah, and they taught him to keep the Torah. Yet we come along, and somehow Yeshua was westernized for some reason. All that he threw out, he got rid of all that, and he just started something fresh. It don't matter what mom and dad taught me, this is what we're doing now. You actually believe that? Because let me tell you, there's folks that are teaching it weekly. That's what he did. And there's nothing worse than lying on Yeshua. Saying he said something he didn't say, acted in a way he didn't act. I don't want to take that chance. So I'm trying to take every precaution I can to only speak what he said. We know that he was circumcised on the eighth day. Very important. And that's a whole lesson all its own, but we're just going to touch lightly like it did in the verse here. When having a female child, a woman is unclean for 2 weeks, that's 14 days, and then remains in the blood of her cleansing for 66 days, totaling 80 days. So the wife gets pregnant now, you're saying, we need a boy, boy, boy. Boy, 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 this is the guys are singing. Only boys, we ain't making no girl. 80 days? Are you serious? When having a female, only the first 7 days or 14 days, she is considered impure, or rather in the blood of her cleansing. Well, to help somebody. After which begins the process of purification through separation. Normally, blood is a thing of impurity, but here it is cleansed. And this wonderful simply pictures our need to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? How many thank God we get cleansed by the blood of the Lamb? And this is what happened for us. So let me tell you. Thank God for Yeshua because he bled for my cleansing. And a woman, it's a reminder to the woman that every time new life comes, bleeding comes for the cleansing. So I'm trying to get you to see the spiritual aspect of having a period. To not take the world's thought of this negative concept and these cramps and the And that's what we buy into. People make jokes about it and they do all this stuff. And what we do, we drag that junk into the church. We don't go to the scripture and we live our lives that way. And we don't realize it disconnects us from Yehovah. How many see how serious this is? Let me tell you, I went over this over and over and over and over and over it because I was trying to get this concept. I'm trying to get this in my head because I missed it. I wasn't seeing it. You go through these quick. You read them fast. I don't know what to say about them. And it's uncomfortable. I'm not going to say that. But I'm here to teach the Torah, and I'm going to teach all of it to the best of my ability. And to me, it's a beautiful picture. It's absolutely beautiful. A woman's reminded every time she gives birth and that child's born, she's reminded that it's for purification. She just, if it's a girl, the reason she has to wait 14 days and 8 days is a big deal there. She just made it possible for the continuation of another person who can incubate the seed and conceive the seed and move on to another generation. That is absolutely incredible. And the guy, he's just sitting there. I'm ready. I'm ready. That's all he knows. He has no concept of this. After the days of her cleansing, whether it is 40 days for a male child, 80 days for a female child, she was to bring an offering to the priest, a lamb for an ascending offering, and a dove or pigeon for a sin offering. And if unable to bring a lamb, then she was required to bring two doves or two pigeons, one for the ascending and the offering and the other for the sin offering. We see how Miriam fulfilled this Torah instruction as recorded in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were complete for him to be circumcised, who's him? Yeshua. His name was called Yeshua. Why was it called Yeshua? The name given by the messenger before he was conceived in the womb. Before he was conceived in the womb, the messenger said, and his name will be Yeshua. So when 8 days were ready for his circumcision, what did they name him? Yeshua. It's telling us this. Yeshua is presented at the temple. And when the days of her cleansing according to the Torah of Moshe were complete, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to Yehovah. Now, I want you to know, this has a subtitle. And when the days of her cleansing according to the Torah, so when this happened? On day 8? No, this would be on what? Day 40. But when we read it in English, it all happened on the same day. And that's how people get confused about the scripture. You got to slow it down a little bit and look at what it's saying. Because we don't know nothing about the days of her cleansing at all. We didn't even look at that. Ain't nobody going to know Leviticus and look at that. So we think everything happened on the 8th day. They presented him. He wasn't even in Jerusalem. He was presented after 40 days. Then he was brought there to Jerusalem and presented him to Yehovah. How many see how important that is? And it has been written in the Torah of Yehovah, every male who opens the womb shall be called, set apart to Yehovah. There's the scripture for it. Exodus 13:2, Exodus 13:12, Exodus 13:15. And to give an offering according to what is said in the Torah of Yehovah, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And see, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Shimon. And this man was righteous and dedicated, looking for the comforting of Israel. And the set-apart spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the set-apart spirit that he would not see death until he sees the Messiah of Jehovah. How incredible that is. And he came in the spirit unto the set apart place. And as the parents brought in the child, Yeshua, to do for him according to the usual practices of the Torah. Why? They were Torah keepers. Yeshua was a Torah keeper. He was trained in that from his youth. Are you seeing this? Then he took him up in his arms and blessed Elohim and said, "Now let your servant go in peace, O Master, according to your word." You don't think that was a day? He was told by set apart spirit, "Don't worry, you're going to see him. You're going to see the comforting of Israel coming." And there he was as he was presented to Jehovah. Just like the Torah told him to do, they was doing all these aspects. And it's just a beautiful text here. "For my eyes have seen your deliverance, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light for the unveiling of the nations, and the esteem of your people Israel." Wow. All of these prophecies that he hoped for and believed God for, prophecies in Isaiah, he's hoped for and believed for. He's seen them come to pass that day. What a rejoicing day that was. We must also take note of here is that Yeshua, Messiah, was not brought to Jerusalem and presented at 8 days old, as some seem to think, but rather he was brought and presented when he was 40 days old, according to the Torah. Does that make sense to everybody now? There are some who teach a tradition which states that on the 8th day of Sukkot, the Shemini Azeret, that the rabbis would take the Torah scroll and lift it up in the procession to the temple and proclaim that the Torah has legs. And from this tradition, some have taught that Yeshua Messiah fulfilled this tradition by being lifted up by Shimon the prophet on the 8th day of Sukkot. That's kind of a stretch, right? Because he wasn't lifted up on the 8th day of Sukkot. He was lifted up 40 days later according to Torah. These people that come up with these concepts are Torah keepers. But when you're trying to make this thing be fanciful above what God has just laid out, plain speech, this is where you go with it. You're getting these errors. Yet we see from the above text that he was presented to Jehovah as it had been written in the Torah when the days of Mizraim's cleansing were complete, which was 40 days total. Now, 7 days for a male, and it's separated. I want you to understand, it's separated. I'm going to help you out here, guys. Why is it separated if it means the same thing? Why don't we just say 40 and 80? Why he says 7 for a male and 33 days extended? 2 weeks for a female and 66 days extended if they mean all the same thing. We don't have to use 7 and 14. We just say 40 and 80, right? Makes no sense. Because for 7 days, she has to be in her nidah. No intimacy. But for 33 days, she's still ritually impure. She can't touch the set apart things, but she can have intimacy. Go. You scared me for a while there, Pastor. I thought I'd get at least one amen out of that and an offering. You'd think. So for a female, for 14 days, she's in nidah, no intimacy, but for the 66 days, she still can't go and touch the set apart things. She's ritually impure, but she's not separated from intimacy. Okay? So just keep that in mind. I know there are many, many thoughts. One of the things that the rabbis teach is a little gross. They teach that she's impure from intimacy for 7 days, but after that time, in the 33 days, even if she menstruates in that process, you can still have intimacy because nothing hurts. They even say it in there. They write it in the Midrash. That even if she flows like a river, you can still have intimacy. And that's adding to God. But that's the kind of stuff that happens. We can't just be okay that this is what he said. Somehow, we got to come along and kind of fix it for him because we think he misspoke. Let me just tell you, Jehovah don't misspeak. He says what he says and he means what he says, and he's asking for you and I just to be obedient. Some people, you know, I think about what Miriam and them did for Yeshua. They didn't have a lot of money, but they followed the Torah. So every little penny they had to hold on to. And they had enough to buy the turtle doves because they couldn't afford a lamb. And but you know one thing they realized? It don't take money to obey. I'm about to help y'all. Now, the prodigal son, he thought he had to have his money first, and then he would obey. How many of you know that never works? You just got to have what you got right now. Now, whatever it is, I don't care if you got 2 pennies to rub together in your pocket. When you obey God, you're rich in him. It don't take money to obey. And we got to quit excusing ourselves. Well, Lord, as soon as I get it, when I get the right job, I'm gonna get in that Torah, and let me tell you, I'm gonna follow. You won't do it. Because it don't take money to obey. You know, all you got to do is say yes, and on the other side of yes, that's where the blessings are flowing. You got to obey God. And the prodigal son said, give me all my money, then I'll figure it out. I'll figure out my spot here in this family. He took his money and instead of he went off and he lived like he wanted, but he didn't ever obey. And then he got back to being broke again. And then he figured something out. He said, you know what? I messed up big time. I'm in wallowing in a pig slop over here. And my father has servants living better than me. What have I done? And he has to repent and recover from that because he brought it on himself. Because we think it takes something to help me obey. All it takes is your willingness to submit to Jehovah. That's what it takes. You got to yield to Yeshua and let the finished work that he did at Calvary do the work in you. Because he finished the work in you. It's been done. I don't care how much your sins were. It doesn't matter if they were piled up high as this building. It doesn't make a difference. When Yeshua died at Calvary, he's forgiven your sins if you'll accept and live by his commands, what he's commanded us to do. And he was following the Torah, and he's teaching us to do the same thing. Keep the commands of God. These are very important times. There are some who teach a tradition which states that on the 8th day of Sukkot, Shemini Ezeret, the rabbis would take the Torah, and they said the Torah has legs. Some have taught that Yeshua Messiah fulfilled this tradition when Shimon lifted him up. But we see that when days of Miriam's cleansing was complete, she brought him there in 40 days. While we do certainly recognize by the clear fact that the Word became flesh, we can, in a manner of speaking, see how the Torah now has legs. Yet we must take note that Yeshua was presented 40 days after his birth. Why is that significant? It is significant, trust me. We certainly believe that he was born on the first day of Sukkot, circumcised on the 8th day, Shemini Ezeret, yet he was only presented after 40 days. Can you imagine this moment when Yosef and Miriam came to present Yeshua and heard Shimon confirm the clear truth that his eyes had now seen the Messiah of Yeshua? Because I'm sure she, you know, Mary kept these things in her heart. But they still had some problems. Do you know that? They had some problems. They were espoused to be married, and she had become pregnant, and it wasn't for Joseph. And so he's got problems, she's got problems. There's a disconnect here. And the only way God could help them with their disconnect, he had to send an angel to speak to both of them. He had to show them in a dream. He says, listen, I'm telling you what's going to happen. And then God used a third part, this guy, Shimon. He says, I want you, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to use you. There's going to be a time that I'm going to confirm everything to him. Can you imagine the relief when they walked in there and presented Yeshua after 40 days? And Shimon said, my eyes have now seen him. Can you imagine the relief and how that must have felt to them that they've carried that thing the whole time? Yet they trusted Yehovah by faith, and then he confirmed it for them. There's nothing better than that being confirmed for them, and what a relief it must have been. We are told that they marveled at the words that were spoken as the deliverance of Yehovah had now been seen and prepared as a light for the nations. We must understand here is the clear necessity for a woman to refrain from intimacy with her husband during her time of separation. This in no way calls for wives to sleep in separate beds and not be able to even sit in a chair in the house, lest others who sit on it become unclean. but rather it speaks of a separation, a time of being intimate with her husband. Now you said, why I mention this? Because this is the teachings. And a lot of rabbis believe that if the wife's menstruating and she sits on the couch, he can't sit on the couch. And they have separate rooms in the house. He goes sleep in that room and it's complete disconnect. That's not the design of Yehovah. The time is that the man should be involved in that, and the woman shouldn't prevent him from being involved in that. He ought to be involved in, and he ought to realize the difficulties that the wife's going through at that time. But he ought to be well equipped in the verses of Scripture to undergird her and pray for her at that time, and be close and be willing to have that separation. That way, when it comes time to get back together, it's refreshed and renewed. That's what Yehovah designed it for. And he has to constantly do that on a monthly basis. That's what keeps your marriage strong. Listen, because let me tell you, there's a couple things that causes disruption in the family. That's money and children. And the husband that's not understanding that what his wife just went through is put her life on the line. Literally. Put her life on the line to have another life. And so, while she's having all these children, her life's being put in line. You have to understand that. You have to take note of that. And you ought to have been praying and seeking Yehovah for her well-being and her strength. Amen? And we know that Yeshua ultimately paid the price for all of that for us. But men, we have a responsibility to make sure that we don't just, I ain't going in there. And treat it like it's a joke. It's no joke. It's serious. Just like the rest of the stuff you think serious. If I'm not going to eat this. I'm going to wear tzitzit. You think all that's serious? Well, this is serious. It's the same Torah. It's not a different Torah. I'm not reading from a different book. I'm reading out the same one. You got all the rest of the stuff that you're gung-ho to do. But this right here, we don't want to do it because it's uncomfortable. It don't feel right. Well, let me tell you. When you go with the Torah, you're going to have to take God at His word and do what He's asked us to do. And I can tell you, Yeshua is tied to every part of this. Not just a little bit. Every part of it. There's no way called for a wife to sleep in separate beds and not be able to even sit in the chair in the house, lest others who sit on it become unclean, but rather it speaks of a separation of time of being intimate with her husband. During this time, the husband and wife are not to engage in sexual intercourse while she is in the time of her cleansing. What this time of separation does is creates a wonderful time of much needed bonding with the mother and the child. And it also caused the husband to begin to relate to his wife in ways that build relationships stronger without the means of sex. Because men are sex driven. And we have to have relationship without being sex driven. And so God, because you don't menstruate, don't mean you don't have to wait. If she's waiting, He commands you to wait. Remember, who's the command to? To the man. Do you understand? Because you're not bleeding don't mean you shouldn't be feeling that. Listen, if you walk in a room and your wife laying on the floor and blood just coming out of her, you're going to jump to doing something. You're going to go, man, what's going on? Well, guess what happens every month? And we jump to nothing. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves that we don't realize the seriousness of that and the value of that. It has value. It has value, and we should take note of that. Am I helping you? What this time of separation does, it creates a wonderful time of much-needed bonding with the mother and the child, and also causes the husband to begin to relate to his wife in ways that builds the relationship stronger without the means of sex. It is during the time of nidah that a husband and wife are able to bond on other levels of intimacy in a non-physical way and deepen their relationship while having a great expectation of coming together once she is cleansed from her blood. This nidah time is not only for healing the body after the birthing process, it also allows the woman to enjoy her baby and not have added responsibilities imposed on her like going to the congregation or working or having other outside influence interrupt her focus of looking after their baby and home life. So this is a time that God has set aside for a woman to not have the duty. So the house duties didn't shift. Where did they shift to? Where do they shift to? I like quiet. Think about it. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, you have no choice if you're going to follow the Torah. If not, take your tzitzit off and you might as well quit this thing. Because I'm still reading out the Torah here. This is the time of responsibility that men, we step up and we take care of things. And if you can't step up, find somebody who can. Get you a maid to help at that time. Pay for somebody. But you can't say, you know, well, she should get up. The baby's born, it's older. Listen. That's set aside by Jehovah for a time for the mother and the child to bond. And notice she has to bond more with the female than the male. What's the reason behind that? Why 40 days versus 80 days? Well, I see two wonderful pictures portrayed here in the cleansing process of being set apart and able to enter into the service of the tabernacle. After Yeshua was immersed, he went into the wilderness for 40 days. And in essence, he was separated and set apart for his role and duty as Savior and husband. So what does the husband and the wife focus on when their child is born, is a male, and she's in that 40-day process? I'd be focused on that right there. Lord, you separate him for these 40 days, and we're going to plead the blood of Yeshua over his life for 40 days. What do you think the outcome of that family is going to be in the future when you do that type of stuff? What do you think Yeshua's life would have been like if he would have said, I ain't going to the wilderness? He needed that wilderness experience. He needed to be in that fight with the enemy to overcome those battles, and he overcame them all. Because in that 40 days, there's some battles you can overcome, and there's supernatural power that's been given to you from heaven to do that, and we do nothing for 40 days. We don't even know about it. Thank God you're here tonight. Amen. Because in 40 days, we're going to know something about it. So if you're planning on having a child, you know, we hear, some of us are here and we say, man, I wish I'd have knew this a long time ago. Me too. When I was putting this study together, I was like, man, Lord, I needed this. I fought a lot of battles that I didn't have to fight. I had victory over them in a 40-day process, but I didn't get none of that because I didn't know. But I have eyes to see now and ears to hear. And now that we have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to know, shouldn't we know it? Should we not know it? Amen. We should know it. When Moshe and Israel went at Mount Sinai, Moshe went up the mountain for 40 days, and after having broken the first stone tablet in the sight of the golden calf worship incident, he went back up for another 40 days, totaling 80 days, after which Israel, the set-apart bride of Yeshua, was now ready to be called out and set-apart bride and receive the marriage covenant, as there was a burning forth, a bringing forth, if you will, of a woman to be a bride for Jehovah. So the female had to go extra 40 days because there's a lot of preparation that takes place. And remember, she's the next generation. That child that you have is the next generation that one day she'll be married and she'll conceive seed or become pregnant. And you wanted to have taught them well. You wanted to take them to the process to make sure they know it. Very important. The question that is often asked is that if having the child is not a sin, then why a sin offering? Psalms 51:5. I was asked this question one time. Everybody was debating. What did it mean? What does this mean? Dawid says, see, I was brought forth in crookedness, and in sin my mother conceived me. Now, this don't mean his mother had an affair to conceive him, because this is what was brought to me. Do you think that she was fooling around and she... No, it means exactly what it says. In sin, she conceived him. Therefore, this is the process that you got to go through in order for that sin not to take root in their life. I'm talking about from the time they're born, from in this process that you're taking them through, whether they're male 40 days or a female 80 days, You're instilling in them this process that Yeshua paid the price. Yeshua paid the price. You've been covered by the blood. You've been cleansed by the blood. And the act that was done, they had to bring the lamb, a year old, and the turtle doves or the two pigeons if they couldn't afford it. A sending offering and an atonement offering. But it seems like they're bringing these sinners. Why do that? Because he says, I want you to know, I was brought forth in crookedness. Every one of us was brought forth in crookedness. And in sin, our mother conceived us. That means she committed a sin to conceive us. But in sin, she conceived us because of one man's sin, it was passed on to all men after that. And so, how many think it's important that day one, when the son's born, or day one when a daughter's born, they should know what Yeshua did for them? And you should start thinking about those things. So the mother's thinking, she's thinking and she's meditating on those things. She's reading those scriptures. What do you think's happening to the child? That child lived in her for 9 months. They're still connected very much. And every child knows. So she don't need to be under added stress of the house clean or what we're going to eat. You know, you come inside, I'm hungry. Well, you better grab you a cookie, sonny boy. You see how important it is? Valuable. But these are the things that the Torah teaches, but nobody wanted anything. The church today didn't want nothing to do with how important this is. Talk about families turning out different, children turning out different, because we see the value in what Yeshua did. He was the offering for these sacrifices too. When that woman gives birth, and because she's, you know, he's born in the crookedness, and sin she conceived him. But immediately we apply the blood of Yeshua, immediately, and you have a time to do it, that space of time. Amen? This is a wonderful thing. This is clear recognition and reminder of how Adam and Eve had sinned, and David made it clear in this Tehillah that he was brought forth in crookedness as this world had been corrupted due to sin. And so the picture of being atoned for by the offering brought is for the mother, in recognition of her need for a Savior, especially in being entrusted with a new life given as a gift from Yehovah. So the mother is taking the time. So Miriam has to bring this offering, right? Now where is Joseph at? He's not at home saying, well, I ain't got to do that. He's right there. He better be right there. Oh, he ain't worth being the husband. He ought to be right there walking through this process, because the enemy will come against. A woman's body is completely depleted during pregnancy and childbirth. It's depleted of a lot of good resources. Wouldn't you want to have it completely touched by the power of Yeshua, like the woman who touched the tzitzit? And he said, who touched me? Because I felt when the power left me. That's what happens when you know this stuff. She gets renewed and refreshed and takes some time to bond with the child, bond with her husband on a non-intimate level. We got to learn that non-intimate level, bond. And so does that mean they couldn't touch each other? Sure you could touch. You could hug. Well, we know touching and hugging will get the man's mind going crazy. So I would suggest you get your control first and then work, ease into it. Another powerful picture we're able to see from these two 40 days requirements is through the work of Messiah, who cleanses his bride through the washing of the word, 40 days for a male and 80 days, 2 times 40 for a female child. In terms of cleansing of us, his bride, we are able to see how after he was immersed and received the Spirit, Yeshua went into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted and triumph by coming through without fail, cleansed after having been born of the Spirit. So when the Spirit, he was baptized, mikvah, Spirit came on, he's born of the Spirit. He goes in there, comes back after 40 days, he overcomes the enemy. This in many ways pictures the first 40 days of the cleansing for the bride, the female, with yet another 40-day cleansing still required, which is what we see pictured in type after Yeshua Messiah was resurrected and had presented the wave of the sheaf of the first. He spent 40 days teaching his taught one as he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days, speaking concerning the reign of Elohim. How incredible is that? So after his resurrection, he speaks them to 40 days. So he had the first 40 days, he separates, by the Spirit, goes in, overcomes Satan. In another 40 days, he proves that he's resurrected. And so we have that full 80 days for the female. It's a wonderful thing when you look at it. This was in type a washing or cleansing period of his bride, which symbolically pictures for us the second 40-day cleansing period for a female child. Now that he had been separated for 40 days and then spent another 40 days after his resurrection with his taught ones, we are able to see the picture of a bride who is able to be fully cleansed and set apart for her husband. So what happens after this separation? She's fully cleansed and she's ready for her husband. And her husband's ready all the time, every day, all day. So that wasn't an issue. But the wife, he stays back and he respects that time. Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Messiah also loved the assembly and gave himself for it, in order to set it apart and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, in order to present it to himself a splendid assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any of these sorts, but that it might be set apart and blameless. Let me see that. Now we say Christ gave himself for the church. How can the husband give himself for the wife? I just told you how. But we never did tie it together. You give yourself for the wife when you're okay with taking care of the duties that need to be tended to that you don't normally do. You're washing clothes, you're washing dishes, you're cleaning house, you're cooking, and you're giving your wife some time. That's important. Very, very important. A woman who has a male child is unclean for 7 days, as in the day of her monthly separation, a menstrual cycle, and would remain in the blood of her cleansing for 33 days, totaling 40. A woman who has a female child is unclean for 14 days, as in the days of her monthly separation, menstrual cycle, and would remain in the blood of her cleansing for 66 days, totaling 80. Some have argued that the total days is 33 for a male child and 66 for a female child, yet we must take note of the clear language being given here. A woman who gives birth is firstly unclean for 7 days or 14 days, and then she remains in the blood of her cleansing. And the Hebrew word for remains is yashav. Strong's H3427 means sit, dwell, remain, abide, inhabit, sitting still, and bears the clear understanding here of how she will abide in or remain in and state that she has already been in for a further period that is allocated based on the gender of the child. Verse 4, she remains in the blood of her cleansing and is not able to come into the set-apart place until the days of her cleansing are complete. Here we are able to see another great prophetic shadow picture of the complete cleansing that Messiah has brought for us, for we are now able to draw near to Elohim by the blood of Messiah and come boldly to the throne of favor, which is in the set-apart place, and find help in time of need. Now, some say that she can't go to church during this time. She can't go to Shabbat service because she can't touch that which is holy. Well, I'm going to ask you this question. Who is the set-apart place now? Who is that? We are the set-apart place. Can she separate herself from herself? Listen, Yeshua paid for that in full, once and for all. We can come before the throne of God boldly. Do you understand? The separation that we have to remain is from that of intimacy during that time, not separation from the, you know. Now, if she feels like she's just worn out and can't come, there's no sin that she didn't come, but she's not prohibited from coming because it's been paid for. I mean, that makes sense to everybody. But having cleansed us and set us apart by his blood and having spent 2 40-day periods of separation for his bride, we are now able to enter into the set-apart place and having fellowship as a body together in him. The Hebrew root word that is translated as complete is male, Strong's H4390, and carries the meaning to be full, to fill, complete, cover, dedicate, fulfill, or ordain. And so by the work of our master, a once defiled and divorced house that was scattered throughout the nations could now enter in. I mean, thank God for that. That was us. We can now enter in. I thank God for that. Amen. The Hebrew word that is used here in Leviticus 12 for male is zakar. Zakar. Because it's got the guttural sound in that one, but the other one doesn't. In H 2145, which comes from the primitive root word, zakar. Strong's H 2142, which means remember or be mindful. The word used here for female is nekava, which is Strong's 5347. It comes from the word nekev, Strong's H 5344, which means to pierce. Very powerful part here. This is what we're given here. It's truly a wonderful picture as we see the female came from the male who was pierced just as Adam's side was pierced and the woman was brought forth from his rib. And therefore, this is a shadow picture of how we as the bride of Messiah have been brought forth by his flesh being pierced for us. So, I want you to think about this. All of us here are the female part that was brought forth from the piercing of the husband. From Messiah. How many thank God for that? So how is that possible? Well, it's the way God put it. And now, in his blood, we have been cleansed and set apart and able to draw near to the throne of favor, having been grafted into the covenant of promise by his blood that cleanses. We are also able to see through this time of separation for the male or female. It is a wonderful shadow picture of how our master remembers us and he has not forgotten the blood covenant that he has renewed for us by being pierced for us so that we can be joined to him and no longer be separated. You might as well change it now, brother. I'm not going to stop. I got seven more slides. Also, we see a wonderful play on words when David makes the following statement in his psalm, in Psalms 8:4. What is man that you remember him, and the son of man that you visit him? The first Hebrew word that is translated here in Psalms 8:4 is, as man, is enosh. As Psalms Strong's H582, which means man, mankind, mortal man. While the second Hebrew word that is translated as man, as in the son of man, is Adam, and the Hebrew word for that is translated as remember, is Zakar, Strong's H2142. Why I'm highlighting this is that we can see from creation account a clear celebration of praise unto the esteemed name of Yehovah that saves man and restores mankind to a rightful position in Messiah, our high priest and king. Let us take a look at the following verses. In Genesis 1:27, and Elohim created the man in his image. In the image of Elohim, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So in man is female. That's why when it came time to present the female, he caused a deep sleep to come on Adam and he pierced him. He pierced him, and from piercing him, he was able to pull female out. How many understand that? Now, we said, why is God doing this? Because he had a plan. Listen, you're not an afterthought. You're not let God fix it because it all broke down. He had a plan in place. He said, it don't make a difference what this man does that I create in our image and our likeness. And I created an earth for him to cause the image of God to be now stamped on earth. But because of sin, he lost the image. The image of God was lost. Now God's got to restore the image. So he's going to take from the same one who caused this thing to be broken. He pierces him. He takes the female out of man. And we see that beautiful picture in Messiah. Yehovah had just created a perfect environment for man, an environment to place his image, and he makes a great declaration before all that he had already created, including the heavenly host of beings that also had been created at this time, saying, let us make man in our image. This declaration can be seen as a royal plural, which in a manner of speaking that shows that the one who is speaking is very great, as he speaks on behalf of all his kingdom, a kingdom which he had made specifically for his image, that would be portrayed through man, which could now be placed and established. Now listen, this is amazing because the guy speaking is Jehovah, and because he's the speaker, he's letting everybody know that he's greater than all, even those listening, those that are part of this royal gala of people that are gathered together. Everybody that's listening to Jehovah's voice, they know that he's the Most High. He's not talking about being equal with anybody there. He's not co-equal with anybody there. He's the Most High, and they recognize that and respect him. Now, he created man for his image to be stamped on earth. But we know that things went terribly wrong. So when we see here the perfect image of Elohim being created in man, we can see that by a male and female term, meaning in essence, marked and pierced. Marked and pierced, we recognize that this is exactly what Messiah came for, to be marked and pierced in order for him to restore the image of Elohim, his image in mankind, an image that the first Adam had defiled through sin. So if we want to know why Yeshua was marked and pierced, that's the reason. Because in order to get the image back, he had to go through that type of death, that marking and that piercing. Because from that, he was able to pull his female out, which is the bride of Christ today. I mean, so when you get saved, it's not a nonchalant thing. Well, you repeat it, say this prayer after me, and that's all it is, something you thought in your mind. It's more than that. He was marked and pierced, and you were pulled literally from him. And to make this female, this body, this bride of Christ, it took some body, had to be marked and pierced for that to happen. And I thank God that he was marked and pierced for me. And I don't want to let him down. So folks can say whatever they want. They can say whatever they want to say about it. I know what the Word of God says, and this thing will open up your understanding, and you'll get revelation from it, and it's exciting when you see the Torah and you look at these verses. It's just exciting to know that God is unfolding himself for us. He's letting us see it. Here in Genesis 1:27, the term man is translated from the Hebrew word Adam, Strong's H120, which means man, mankind, human person, human person. And so this also collectively refers to both men and women. What Tehillah 8:4 expresses is the praise for Yehovah creating man and remembering him. In remembering him, he provides a way for sinful man to be restored to his rightful place in creation, which is to rule and reign with Elohim. Now, when we've been restored to the rightful place in his image, what rules do we have to follow? Do we follow man's rules? No, we follow man's rules as linked to what Adam decided to do. He decided to break God's rule and follow his own rule. He had a rule set in the garden. Both of them knew the rule, but they went against the rule of God, so they followed their own rule. When Yeshua comes, we get pulled out of the marked and pierced side of Yeshua, and we become the bride of Christ. What rules are we going to follow? The same ones Yeshua followed. The same thing he did, we're going to do. And we're going to do it with joy and happiness. And we're going to get the same results he got. What results he got? He was dead, 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 but God raised him from the dead. And I thank God that he's given us this beautiful picture for us to look at tonight. Amen? And in recognizing this clear Torah separation for a woman who remains in the blood of her cleansing for either 40 or 80 days, we are able to grasp the wonderful picture of being restored and cleansed in our Master's blood who has separated us unto himself. Amen, amen, amen. There we go. I took my bat, and I hope I hit a home run tonight. What a good God we serve, amen? Isn't he good? Incredible? Well, I don't know about you, but all week, I've been in this thing. When I first got into it, the next night I couldn't sleep at all. I just kept thinking about it. I was like, where has this been my entire life? It's so liberating. It sets you free. It makes more sense. It makes me think, God, there were so many battles I fought we didn't have to fight. There were so many wars we got in, and some of them wars we lost. We didn't have to. Could we see the beautiful thing that God, there's nothing you're going to ever go through in life that He's going to leave you to figure it out on your own. He wrote it all down. He says, I'll take you through if you let me. I may thank God for this week's Torah portion. Jezreel. Very important. And that, I'm glad I had this little short chapter. It was the shortest chapter, but I tell you what, it had a lot of stuff in it. So the next one is 59 verses. I'm going to tell all the guys here, good luck with that. 59 verses, but it's good. Let me tell you, every bit of it's good. But after a couple, just the last couple of days of this week, I didn't even go to that 59 verses no more, because I was so focused on that front part. I had to stay focused. Plus, I got most of the other Torah done for the next week. And so I got all this in my mind while I'm up here. And I want to talk about the next one, but I got to ask the Lord to help me. Because you want to just go. But it all ties in. Let me tell you, all of it ties in to this next chapter. It's so powerful. And man, to have the time to take our time to break down every verse. So they're going to do the best they can. And just understand, that's why you keep reading yourself. Just keep going through it. It'll be a blessing to you, I guarantee you. Any prayer requests?